Welcome to another inspiring Sister's Message. We hope you are blessed by this ministry.
So two friends met each other on the street one day. And one looked really down, almost on the verge of tears. And her friend asked her, "My friend, what on earth has the world done to you? You look absolutely miserable." And the sad soul said, "Let me tell you what's happened. So it started 3 weeks ago when my uncle died and left me 40,000 rand. "Sure, that's a lot of money," said the friend. "Yes, but you see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin I didn't even know died and left me 80,000 rand. Friend is confused and she says, "Well, that sounds pretty amazing. That sounds like a major blessing." "Yes, but you don't understand," said the miserable one. "Last week, my great aunt passed away and she left me nearly 250,000. Now this friend is seriously confused. And she says, "Friend, I'm confused. I really don't understand. After all this blessing, why do you look so miserable?" "Because," said the friend, "after 3 weeks of all of this, all of a sudden, this week, nothing." This poor lady is severely lacking a quality that we all need to learn to cultivate. And that quality is gratitude. You know, sometimes it's a case of the more we have, the less we notice what we have. And we can take things for granted, amen, and become so familiar that we fail to recognize how much we have to be thankful for. And there's actually a psychological term for this. It's called hedonic adaptation. And this is what happens when we get so used to the good things in our world that we don't even see the good or the positive in them anymore. We can even start complaining about that which we once were so grateful for. And sadly, this is the ruin of many marriages as the nag factor starts to outweigh the compliments and the thanksgiving, and the starry eye emojis are now suddenly become... "With regards, your affectionate wife, Claire." Or think about that job that you once were so grateful to land, or that house that you were so grateful to buy, which now all you do is complain about. You can all look straight ahead. I know, it's just me tonight. But you know, the thing is, all of us can find ourselves headed down this road if we're not careful. And sometimes it can be as a result of really genuine disappointment or really terrible things that have happened in our lives. But whatever the reason is, ladies, we have to stop ourselves and we have to change perspective before we lose sight of the goodness of God and the blessings that we do have. I'm sure we're all familiar with that old saying, familiarity breeds contempt. In fact, I thought it was a proverb. I thought it was in the Bible. I discovered it's actually not. It's just an old saying. Anyway, familiarity breeds contempt. But gratitude, on the other hand, is one of the most powerful tools that we can use to fight familiarity. This thing called hedonic adaptation. And we can rather live a life of appreciation. Amen. I think if there's something that we all came out of the COVID lockdown season realizing is how much in life we took for granted before COVID, amen? Things that we thought were guaranteed. I mean, the simple things like being able to go out in public whenever you wanted to, being able to visit friends and family, being able to walk outside of your own front yard, being able to go to a loved one's funeral, and being able to be in church on a Sunday on the weekends. And... what we've learned from this is that there are going to be times in life that are tough, and we need the resilience and the gratitude to be able to cope and get through those times. I remember the beginning of COVID trying to adjust to this and thinking, like, we've landed in the twilight zone. Like, this has to be some kind of a bizarre nightmare that we're going to wake up from. And then discovering, like, no. This is reality, and you are going to have to adapt. I don't know if you remember this, because I've blocked a lot of these things out of my mind, but I cast my mind back, and I remember, do you remember when we came out of the hard lockdown, and we were entering into winter, and we were told by the government what did and didn't constitute essential clothing? And we're going into winter, and I was in KZN, so I don't know about you girls here in Joburg, but I remember like walking in and thinking, this is a bizarre assortment of clothing that you've picked for us to choose from. Now, this winter, I am only so grateful to walk into the shop, pick any pair of PJs that I feel like, and go and pay for them and buy them off of the shelf without being told it's essential or not. It's good to laugh, right? It is good to laugh. And then we had the looting. And in KZN, it was particularly bad. And gosh, I very, very quickly developed such an intense sense of gratitude just for a relative sense of safety and peace. Yes, we live in South Africa. We never have a complete sense, but a relative sense of safety and peace after what we went through there. And just such gratitude that I was not one of those who lost their job, lost their business, or even lost a loved one. And now, this past 2 weeks, the floods. The floods. And again, because of coming from KZN, there's a large part of my heart that is still there. And to see what they've been going through is really quite heartbreaking. But these calamities and these trials come, and they need to remind us of how fortunate we are for things like a roof over our head, some food in our tummies, and a tap that when you open it, water, clear water, runs out. We know that not everything in life is God ordained, but everything in life can be God used if we allow Him. And so we need to use these life lessons as such, as life lessons to help us, to equip and to grow us. You know, God calls us to be thankful no matter the situation. Do you know that? It's tough, but He calls us to be thankful because it honors Him. And because thankfulness focuses us on our current blessings and fuels our hope, which is part of our theme for this year, our hope and our dreams for the future. So tonight, I'm inviting us to take up a challenge. It's called the Gratitude Challenge. And that is the message of tonight, the title of tonight's message, if you'd like a title, the Gratitude Challenge. And this challenge might sound simple. It's relatively simple, but I can tell you it's not easy because I've embarked on this challenge a number of times before. But I can tell you that if you decide to take up this challenge, you will discover that gratitude has the power to transform your thinking, your condition, and your life. And I'm telling you this from experience. There are so many benefits to gratitude. And the most important and most powerful is that when we're grateful, we become so much more aware of God's presence and His power at work in our lives. I came across an interesting article about positive psychology. And like I said last month, for those of you that were here, I love how science now works to prove what the Bible's been telling us for over two centuries. Love it. Anywho, so it reads this. 3 decades ago, Martin Seligman and colleagues launched the field of positive psychology. And here began the study of emotions such as gratitude, optimism, forgiveness, happiness, compassion, and altruism. In other words, the fruits of the Spirit, Christian values. At the time, this was a revolutionary idea in the field of psychology, since most of the data about human emotion had previously focused on negative psychology, such as mental illness, trauma, addiction, and stress. The article goes on to say is that what we have learned is that cultivating personal attributes fortifies us, strengthens us during times of adversity and emotional turmoil, and leads to greater happiness and resilience. Moreover, of all the attributes one can develop, gratitude is most strongly associated with good mental health. Isn't that amazing? But I just have to add, if they had just read the Bible and believed it, we could have made this revelation a lot sooner than 3 decades ago. But hallelujah. Now, I'm going to share some scripture. Yes, there is scripture tonight. Psalm 100. In many translations, this psalm is entitled a psalm of thanksgiving. And so let's read it together. A psalm of thanksgiving. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. In other words, he is sovereign. He is in control. He made us and we are his. We, you ladies, are his people. You are the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates or his presence with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. Come on, give God praise. Last month, I said that I love David so much, and my husband nearly had a heart attack. He was like, who is this David? And then I got to who I was talking about. But I have to just throw that in there, because that was hilarious. But I do love David from the Bible. And, you know, David is just so inspiring, because David was known for his constant praise and his constant thanksgiving to God, even in the most horrific situations. And so his words are a reminder to us that in every season, even in the most unthinkable trials in life, and ladies, I've been there, there is much to be grateful for if you look for it. So I want to encourage us that this psalm, Psalm 100, easy to remember, can be a wonderful reminder to us of who our God is and how much he loves you and I. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And we may say, but that's impossible. How can you give thanks in all circumstances? But this is the thing, is God is not telling us to give thanks for all circumstances. No, God doesn't expect us to give thanks for evil and for pain and for trauma and for loss and for grief and for all the awful things, suffering. No, but he does expect us to give thanks in all circumstances. In spite of the circumstance that we're facing, we have to give him thanks. Why? Because God is in every circumstance. Amen. The word tells us that he has gone before us. Amen. He stands beside us and he goes ahead of us to make a way in the wilderness where there looks like none. And so because of this, we can give him thanks. It's about shifting our focus from our problems to the solution provider. We have a direct line to the solution provider. Here's a lovely quote by Anne Voskamp, and she says, gratitude isn't only a celebration when good things happen. Gratitude is a declaration that God is good no matter what happens. And I believe, amen, give him praise. Never lose an opportunity to give God praise. I believe this is a quality that every single one of us can possess. We just need to learn how to cultivate it and practice it. It's like a muscle. So the more we use it, the stronger it becomes, until we actually start becoming grateful, until actually our outlook on life, our default outlook, is one of gratitude. And every melancholic in the room said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Really, is this possible? It can indeed become your default outlook. And so we're going to look tonight at just 7 benefits, because there are gazillions, that are a byproduct of gratitude. And I'm going to convince you that you're going to take on this challenge by the end of tonight and see it work in your life. So the first benefit is gratitude helps us with improved physical, emotional, and social well-being. Physical, emotional, and social well-being. Studies show that consistently thinking about good things, how's this, listen to this, decreases physical pain and stress, strengthens the heart, immune system, and decreases blood pressure, increases sleep and the quality. Who wants some of that? Well, the young mom said, yes, please. Reduces depressive symptoms, increases energy, and makes us nicer, more likable people. Smiley, happy people are definitely nicer people to be around. Agreed. Yes. Proverbs 15, verse 15 says, every day is terrible for a miserable person, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Love that. Number 2, the second benefit of being grateful. You'll be more content and satisfied with what you have. You know, as humans, our natural tendency is to want more. And that's why it is so easy to become immune to what we have and continue to look for the more that we somehow believe will fill the gaps in our hearts and in our lives, but which do not. We can look back right to the very beginning, to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God created them. He set them in paradise. He gave them paradise. There was one rule, just one. That rule was that they could not eat from one specific tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God told them that if they ate its fruit, it would bring death. But along came the serpent, the slippery, sly devil, with his lies that, may I just say, always lead to destruction. And he tells Eve that she won't die if she eats the fruit from the tree, but in fact, her eyes will be opened to see what God could see, knowing both good and evil. And so, of course, she was convinced. Genesis 3 verse 6 says the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And men have been reminding us of this ever since, haven't they? So there it is, right in the very, very beginning, the desire for more that rises up in us. Eve had paradise, and yet she wanted more. She wanted God's wisdom. And even though God had warned her, as he so often warns us, she chose to believe the enemy's lies and his deception, and it caused the downfall of all humanity. Thank you, Eve. But gratitude is a powerful weapon God has given us to fight this constant desire for more. It aligns our thoughts with the will of God, and it keeps us on track so that we aren't constantly distracted and chasing all these wrong mores. There are good mores to chase. That sounds so weird. There are good mores to chase, and there are bad wrong mores to chase. And so instead, when we have a sense of contentment, even when we have a real need in our lives, we are more likely to practice patience as we trust God for the breakthrough and for his provision. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. We have to stand by this, ladies, each and every day. Don't worry about anything. It is a waste of your mental capacity and your time. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Amen. Then, after you've done all that, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that you can understand, and his peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That guarding of your hearts and minds is what happens to help us to resist the temptations and the lies when the enemy tries to bring them. Amen. Number three, are you still good? Yes. Is this helping you? Yes. Praise the Lord. Number three, greater resilience in times of crisis. You know, they say people with more gratitude have a more proactive coping style and are more likely, interesting enough, to look to others for support in times of need. And I think this is a fantastic key for all of us after the unprecedented Twilight Zone crazy 2 years that we have been through. And again, I want us to look at David, because he was known for his heart of praise, but he was also very much known for his resilience. Throughout the Old Testament and the Psalms, we read about how he faced serious life-threatening danger, evil enemies, betrayal, deep discouragement, even possibly some depression. And yet, he writes like this even when his life is under literal attack. Psalm 9. His life is under attack. He's hiding. He says, sing praises to the Lord who reigns in Jerusalem. Tell the world about his unforgettable deeds. For he who avenges murder cares for the helpless. He does not ignore the cries of those who suffer. Ladies, he who avenges murder cares for the helpless and does not ignore the cries of those who suffer. David knew where his source of strength came from. And so this reminds us again of who God is and what God is able to do. He is a powerful source of strength and encouragement to persevere. Amen. And this, when we focus on God and His goodness, it builds resilience so that when these tough times come, we are able to hold on. We are able to cope better. We are less likely to fall apart into a complete mess. And then they talk about reaching out to people. You know, when you're grateful for people in your world, you're more inclined to reach out for a helping hand. And I guess that's because you're grateful for them. And so you know that if you reach out, they're likely to help you. You know, I'm one of those people who struggles to reach out. I always think people have got enough problems of their own. They don't need to be lumped with my burdens. But you know, I realize, I often think, Lord, is that an arrogance? Is it a pride thing that I can't reach out? Or is it an insecurity thing? I haven't come to the conclusion. But what I do know is that, and what I've witnessed, and when I have reached out, so often people are more than willing to come alongside you and help you. In fact, a lot of the time they're waiting for you to ask. And when you don't, they're like, why doesn't she ask? I thought I was her friend. But she doesn't ask for my help. Oh, well. Yep. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10. I'm working on that. It says, two people are better than one because they get more work done by working together. But here's another beautiful thing. If one falls down, the other can help him up. But it is bad for the person who is alone, Claire, and falls because no one is there to help. Love that. Number four, the fourth byproduct of gratitude is increased self-esteem. This is an important one for us girls. Do you know living grateful reduces emotions like envy and competition? And I'm sure we can all agree that those are horrible emotions, envy and competition, and a horrible way to live our lives. And yet many do live that way. But when we're grateful that God has made us on purpose and unique with a plan and a purpose, we are much more content with who we are intrinsically, who He's made us to be, and the unique gifts and talents we've been given. I haven't been given the ability to prance around the room and flick over and do the pretzel like my daughter, but I've been given other things, right? You've been given other things. What your sister has got, you don't need that because God gave that to her. That's hers to steward. You need to find out what He's given you so that you can steward that and you can use it well. Amen. Therein, with that gift and talent, lies your purpose. And when we have a healthy self-esteem, we learn to like ourselves, literally warts and all. And instead of comparing and complaining, we naturally become more secure and we feel better about ourselves. And, you know, we're also able to celebrate the wins of others and to cheer our sisters and others along with joy. Amen. Not gloat over people's misfortunes or when they mess up because we feel threatened by the other's success or blessing. And secure people are much easier to like. So you're more likely to have friends and a better experience in life. And, Psalm 139 verse 14 says, thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. And I know this is something that is very hard for us ladies, especially younger ladies. I find as you get older, it becomes a little easier to make peace with who you are. But it is so important. And if you struggle in this area, I really want to encourage you to take it to God and to really pray and really ask Him to reveal to you the value that you have intrinsically in Him, not because of how you look or what you do or what you've achieved or your status in life or where you've come from, none of that, but because you are intrinsically a child of God. Amen. It's a happier way to live, honestly, when you feel good about yourself. And I'm not talking about not growing. I'm not talking about, oh, okay, well, this is me and I'm just, I can't grow. No, I'm talking about the things we can't change or grow, like the length of my legs. They are not tall and slender. I do not have tall and slender legs, but here's the thing, they work. And not only do they work, but I can fit in really small cars. So if you've got a really small car and you're looking for people to lift, I'll fit and I won't complain. Speaking of legs, when we're grateful for our body, this is another thing, we're more likely to take better care of ourselves and do our best to protect our health. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 to 20 tells us do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price, a very costly price. Jesus gave his life for your body. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Amen. I'm going to start exercising next week. My husband's there. He's like, Number five, the fifth benefit, increased capacity for forgiveness and stronger relationships. Another one that is just so vital for us. You know, when we remind ourselves regularly that we are forgiven and saved by grace, that salvation is a free gift for all to receive, it's a lot easier to recognize the humanity and the weaknesses in others and begin to forgive because we have been forgiven. And I know that some of us here tonight have been deeply hurt, maybe deeply traumatized or betrayed, and it is not easy to forgive. But if you continually bring that to God in prayer and continually to ask the Holy Spirit to do a work in you, I'm telling you, the day you can forgive that person or those people, you will be set free. Because unforgiveness holds us in chains. When we show appreciation to people that we value and let them know with words and with deeds, it builds stronger relationships, it builds bridges to others and deeper connections, and more meaningful relationships are formed, which is so beautiful. And Paul, wonderful Paul, he was so great at showing people appreciation. I think in all his letters, he starts with telling everybody how wonderful they are and how he's praying for them and misses them. And here in Philippians, I mean, the man is sitting in a dark, dank cell in chains, in prison, in horrific conditions. And this is how he starts his letter to the Philippians. My prayers for you are full of praise to God as I give him thanks for you with great joy. I'm so grateful for our union. I want to be more like Paul, amen? We need to be those girls who thank God and people. And you know what, ladies? We need to look for the gold in others. You might say, that person has no gold. I'm telling you, there ain't no gold in that baby. No, if you mine deep, long, and hard enough, you will find gold. And I want to encourage you to do it. Let's not write people off. Amen? Most of the time when it's hard to find the gold, it's because people have been hurt. Just keep digging. You never know what God can do. Amen. Number six out of our seven. Gratitude makes us less self-centered and more altruistic. What is altruism? It's being more selfless and having concern for others. So when we're grateful, of course, it naturally means we spend less time thinking about ourselves because, as we said, we're content with what we have. Amen. And so we are naturally more outwardly focused. And What begins to happen is we actually begin to see people, not just see people, but see people, see the individual. And when we begin to do that, we also begin to see their needs. We begin to notice their needs and we begin to care about their needs. Altruism is to have a concern for others, but more than that, it's wanting to do something to help uplift their lives. So acts of kindness and caring about others is a beautiful byproduct of gratitude. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, God will make you rich enough so that you can be generous if you want to, and your generosity will produce thanksgiving to God because of us. That was talking about the Corinthian church. And I love this because it's God who gets the glory at the end of the day. It's God who gets the thanks when we see somebody's need, when we reach out to try and help meet it. It's an opportunity to witness of Christ's goodness, to remind them that there is a God in heaven who sees them and loves them, because God uses people as his hands and feet on the earth, and that is you and I. And we need to be ready and willing to be those people. And times of trouble are a great opportunity to be a witness to Christ. You know, I've been privileged, I say privileged and blessed, as I've watched via a WhatsApp group that I belong to down in Belito. I still belong to a group there. And I've been amazed to watch how many people in KZN are practicing incredible gratitude and kindness following the recent floods. And they've become so aware of what others don't have and what they've lost that it's made them acutely aware of what they do have rather than what they don't, like water. And here's a picture. It's going to come up on the screen. It's a bit grainy, but it's a picture from this WhatsApp group. This is somebody offering to share the water that they got from a JoJo tank with those who don't have. And this is what they wrote. They said, I have some bottles of water that I filled up the other day. If anyone needs some, ...water is brown. You know what I love? The water is brown part is just like an afterthought. Because you know what? When you don't have water, brown water is wonderful, is a blessing. You'll take brown water. You'll do what you need to do. And then another post, oh my gosh. And can I just say quickly, just a side note, this group used to be full of bickering and moaning. It was catty. It was nasty. Ask my husband. It was nasty. And suddenly through this crisis, I was just watching these people rally together with kindness and love. So this elderly lady, she shared this week. She says, oh, I love it. I've just had a lovely bath in brown hot water. It's still in the bath, and anyone's welcome to come splash around in my brown hot water with pleasure. And then that little creepy, I find it creepy, that little huggy hands thing emoji. But how amazing is that? I've just had a beautiful brown bath, and anyone can come. And I bet you people took her up on the offer. They don't care that a little old lady just had a bath in that brown water. She's got water, baby, and we're going to go and have that bath. So, yeah, beautiful, 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 and wonderful to see what can happen to people, the good that can come out of people in times of trial. Amen. Even non-Christians, and so especially ladies as Christians, how much more? Amen. Number 7, the 7th and final byproduct is heightened awareness of God's goodness and faithfulness. And this is the most powerful and the most important, because gratitude naturally leads to thanksgiving. That's what it's about. And God delights in our thanksgiving, and it actually opens the door to his blessing and his favor. And so I want to say tonight, if you are here and you're waiting for some kind of a breakthrough, you're waiting on God, I want to ask you, have you started by thanking him for what you do have? Have you gone before him and said, thank you, God, that I have this. I'm so grateful for these things. Now, God, I'm asking for X, Y, Z. Amen? Rather than letting him know all about what we don't have, it's really powerful to thank him for what we do have. It invites his presence, as I said. And this is why we should start all our prayers with honor and thanksgiving to God. Amen? Before we bring the list of requests, Jesus teaches us this. He teaches us how to pray in Matthew 6. He says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we're praising God. We're acknowledging who he is. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then give us today our daily bread. So ladies, those are just 7 benefits of gratitude. There are so many, many more. And I want to encourage you, go and research this. Go and research the subject. Look it up for yourself. Find out some more benefits. Stir yourselves. But I don't know about you, but as for me, I want this. I want these things in my life. I want to be a person who practices gratitude, because I know that it'll make me a better person, a more pleasant person to be around, a more useful person to God for him to use. And so, yeah, it makes us better people, for ourselves, for others in our world, and for God. So Philippians 4 says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. We read that earlier. So tonight I'm asking us to give this gratitude challenge a go and see what God does. You got nothing to lose, amen? You got nothing to lose. And so as we start to come to a close tonight, I'm just going to give us 2 simple keys before we start this challenge, because there's 2 things that you have to do before you start it if you want it to be a success. Firstly, you have to make a conscious decision that you want to do it, right? Because gratitude is a choice, and it's often actually a sacrifice. Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made, the one you get right now, your present, it's your gift today. So we will rejoice and be glad in it. We will rejoice and be glad, and we don't know if we're going to have another day. So let's take this one and rejoice in it. Amen. Find the good. It's an act of our free will. And knowing up front that there will be days when we really don't want to do this. We don't want to practice gratitude. We don't want to look at the things that we should be thankful for. It's good to know that up front, that there will be those days, because then when you've prepared yourself, you're not shocked or, oh, what is going on when those days come. And when those days do come, because they will, you need to know that those are the days that you need to do this more than ever. Those are the days that whatever it takes, you thank God for breath in your lungs. You thank God for salvation. You thank God for a roof over your head. You thank God for food in your tummy, whatever it is. On those days particularly, you need to start to praise Him and thank Him. And as you do that, you will see how your spirits will begin to lift and how hope and faith will begin to rise. And God's supernatural peace will begin to fill you. And then key number two, once you've made the choice to practice gratitude, you need to practice it. As I said, it's like a muscle, but this is the cool thing, is that it takes as little as 5 minutes a day. Honestly, as little as 5 minutes a day of practice is enough. And some people keep a gratitude journal to record what they're grateful for, which is great because, you know, later on in life, you can go back and see what God did for you and remind you that if God did it for me, then He can do it again. Amen. But what we're going to use is this little baby, this little jar that each of you are going to get on your way out tonight. And in this jar, it says the gratitude challenge, and then Psalm 100 verse 4, enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. And then there's some little papers in this jar and a pencil. They are little. But what I'm asking us to do is over the next 30 days, and you can actually, there's more than 30 papers, but even if you can just think of three things, start with three things that you're grateful for. Write them down on this piece of paper, maybe put the date. I've got one from years ago, and I love going back and looking at the date, and I'm like, oh, wow, and that thing, you know, that prayer, whatever it happened. And pop them in your little jar. If you've got more, write more. If you need more paper or bigger papers, you can do that. But you know, the thing is, they can be big things, but they can also be teeny tiny little things. As I said, you know, on those bad days, they can be little things. But just every day, 5 minutes, write them down. And then once you've written them down, spend some time actually thinking about those things. And allow yourself to be filled with the gratitude and to begin to feel good about those blessings that God has given you. And then take a moment to pray and give thanks to God for those things. Whatever's on your list, remembering this, James 1 verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. That is our God. And ladies, as you do this exercise daily, I'm telling you, you will begin to notice a difference in your lives. You'll begin to notice that your outlook will change. And you can even become that person who lives grateful, who gratitude is the default that their mind goes to. And what we're doing when we do this is we're actually putting into practice what Paul tells us, and we focused on this last month at Sisters. Mind your mind was the message. What Paul's asked tells us to do in Philippians 4 verse 8. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And as we make a habit of doing this, of focusing on those things, the power of gratitude will begin to work in our lives. And what we're actually doing is we are renewing our mind, as the Bible tells us to do. And as we renew our mind, those hopes and those dreams that maybe have fizzled or faded or even died will start to become alive again in your hearts. And you'll begin to realize that you do have the fortitude, you do have the resilience, you do have it in you through the grace of God to see those hopes and dreams realized. Amen. So the Bible tells us, science has proven it, grateful lives have the power to change us and transform us. And so I just want to say gratitude's going to look good on you. Maybe you're naturally grateful. That's awesome. But gratitude looks good on you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you were blessed and inspired by this ministry.